thing.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And quite fortunately, I can read, write, I can do everything. Mm-hmm. Okay. See how well I can see here. Wait a minute.
No, it's kind of light.
Is there a line? Oh, here. Wait a minute. Making sure it wasn't allowed for me to. Is it maiden name?
Yes, please.
It was cut short from Alexander to Hicks. Mm.
So Alexander was the maiden name?
Huh?
Alexander was your
maiden
name?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, let's see. Place, and I'll write the rest. The place, your place of birth?
Okay, Manassas, Virginia.
In your year?
23. Your
and any schooling? Elementary school?
Elementary school, Manassas. Okay. Brown School.
This is called Manassas Brown?
Mm-hmm.
What about middle school or high school?
At that time, it was known as Manassas Industrial School. It is now Jenny Dean. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like to not say anything.
What's the M for in your middle name?
The first one's bad.
Is it on yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can go back and cut that part out.
May.
Oh, M-A-Y or M-A-E? The day is about the 25th. Today is May 25th, 2004, and we are here with Mrs. Hilda Hicks, who's going to share some of her knowledge about the Tenor Hill area, about the and anything that she knows about school desegregation, civil rights, anything that she can share with us that will enlighten us about Tenor Hill. We're going to start by just asking her about her parents and where they grew up, anything that you can recall about your parents and what their lives were like, grandparents, if you can remember back that far.
Mm-hmm. My father was born in Wellington, Virginia. My mother was born in Centerville, Virginia. My grandparents, I knew one of them, my grandmother, and her name was Laura Powell Alexander, and she lived to be 96 years old. And I didn't know about my grandparents on the other side. Now what next?
What about sisters and brothers or aunts and uncles?
Oh, I had two sisters and two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Aunts?
Aunts and uncles.
Do I have to name them?
No, you don't have to name
okay,
them. Just anything you can remember about
them. Yes, aunts and uncles I had, and they were born in Virginia also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So most of your family born and raised in Virginia?
In Virginia. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember much about your childhood? What was your childhood like? If we asked you to describe maybe your favorite thing about growing up in Virginia, what would that have been?
My childhood?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can say this. I was brought up in a loving home. And though at that time our schools were segregated, and the children from Falls Church and Fairfax area, when they had to go to high school, they could not attend schools in Fairfax County. So my husband was the first student driver to bring them to Manassas High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I married the bus driver after we had gotten older.
Mm-hmm.
And from that union,
you can keep talking, that's fine.
I had... It's going to ring 10 times.
So we'll just stop until... We'll stop until...
We had one single daughter and two sets of twins. Mm. And that was it.
So what was it, if you think about your children, by the time your children were ready to go to school, what was life like in Fairfax County and the surrounding areas as far as schools and desegregation? And I guess what I'm trying to get a feel for now is, can you see how things changed between the time that you went to school, or did they change between the time that you were a student and the time that your children went to school?
Well, I can say that things have changed. And when my children started going to, well, before they went to integrated schools, we lived close enough to the school to have thrown a rock to hit the school, but they couldn't go to that school because they were black. The school was just up the street. And but when desegregation came, it was pretty good, but some of the teachers, I guess of both races, had a little time, had a problem adjusting. Mm-hmm. And then when my daughter went, one of my daughters went to Falls Church High School, the principal was white. Well, practically all of the faculty was white. Mm-hmm. And he was very prejudiced. Mm-hmm. And before they graduated, they arranged a meeting with him, and they told one of them told him that, "You're really sorry." And they felt that going to Falls Church High was time wasted. Mm-hmm. And they never, the counselor never told them about further training to go into certain fields. It was always that low grade training, you know, you might be a this, that, or the other, but never the better things. And that was a problem. Mm-hmm. And but I can say this, if ever a child was absent, they would always call you home. Mm-hmm. They kept tab on them. That mm-hmm. was good. Mm-hmm. But when things went on a little further, there, as time went on, I guess they had to get used to each other. Mm-hmm. And there was quite a bit of heckling by the white kids. Mm-hmm. And of course, when they would, some of the children would be walking and the other kids would be on the buses, all times things were thrown. The same old story. Mm-hmm. But I'd always taught my children to stand on your own two feet.
Right.
And they got along okay. It didn't bother them, because we had prepared them for that time. And my husband and I both worked with scouts, and he had the first integrated Little League baseball team. And then when I had more exposure to the other race, it wasn't too bad, because we used to have meetings from house to house, and sometimes my husband and I found out that we were the only ones among the different people. And someone said to me, "How could you be the only ones with so many other people?" I said, "I'm human, and I'm just as good as the next guy." Mm-hmm. And I can stand up against anybody. Mm-hmm.
Now, something you said you prepared your children to deal with what they would deal with in desegregated schools. How did you do that?
How did I do that? I always taught them that you are, well, I can't say it as it is then, but you are somebody. And no one is any better than you are. And when you have to go out into the world, you'll find that there will be problems. You will be told about or reminded of your blackness and whatnot. So just be prepared for things like that. And you don't only get it from the other people. Sometimes you get it from your own race, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just be prepared for all of those things coming from both sides. So did well, and when they got older, they thanked me, two of them. We celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, mm-hmm. and my youngest daughter and oldest girl said that they wished that they could instill the qualities in their children that we did in them. Mm-hmm. And by myself, I have some wonderful grandkids. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I'm a great-grandma. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then when you think about the things that your children went through and other children who were going to those desegregated schools, some of the first children to desegregate the schools, were there efforts by the parents who knew that their children were not being given the same privileges in those schools, desegregated schools, as the white children that attended those schools? They weren't being given information from counselors about colleges and universities. Did the parents ever make a fuss about that?
They weren't aware, and some of them did make a fuss about it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did they? What was the outcome of that, or was there not an outcome?
Well, as far as I know, maybe it went to another level, mm-hmm. and maybe it just went along for a while. But I don't know. Well, maybe in the long run, it did make a difference. Mm-hmm. But it took time.
Mm-hmm. So when you think about, you told me some about your children growing up. When you think about things that probably impacted them as children and things that impacted you as they were growing up, what do you think was maybe one or two things that impacted you the most as you saw your children grow up, as you saw them attend those desegregated schools? Mm-hmm. What do you think may have had the greatest impact on you or on them?
I don't know exactly, and then I do know. I think it was always that, always in back of my mind, I felt that I had to be the protective mother. Mm-hmm. May not be the right answer, but you still feel that. I think we as a people, during my time, we developed a chip on that shoulder. Mm-hmm. Don't touch my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And if you do, it's not going to be so good. I would not fight, but I'd put up a good mouthy. Maybe I've been known to be too mouthy. And I guess the greatest impact it had on my kids was the fact that their basic training at home, they had to use it, mm-hmm. during those times. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Do you remember much about Tenor Hill?
Not really. Okay. Not really. But
you grew up. You actually grew up in Manassas.
I did.
And
when
did
come
you come
to Falls Church until I was 19 years old?
What was Falls Church like when you came here at 19?
Well, as a white lady who used to visit my aunt next door, she came here, and you know the Ku Klux Klan was in Falls Church. Mm-hmm. And her husband was among the few who tried to help to desegregate the schools here. And she said that their house had been egged, windows broken and everything, because he stepped out and tried to help.
Now, he was a former Klan member?
No.
No.
Uh-uh. No, he was the one trying to help
to
desegregate the schools. And as far as I'm concerned, sometimes I think the Klan is still here. Mm-hmm. Really. Mm-hmm. But
just without the mask.
Huh?
I said just without the mask.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But at least they know, you know who they are. Mm-hmm. So many hiding behind a mask that mm-hmm. they don't have on.
Just not the sheep.
No.
I understand.
Mm-mm. And there was a man, Mr. Tenor, who helped with the NAACP. Mm-hmm. He was a fighter. Mm-hmm. And
did you know him personally?
Him?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
No.
No, I just knew some of the ads. Okay. And then there was another fella named Ollie Tenner, who was one of the family. He was a teacher in the District of Columbia, mm-hmm. but he was civic-minded. He did things in this community. Mm-hmm. And but as far as I know, the name Tenner, for what some of the older ones did, especially the guy with, working hard with NAACP, it was always outstanding. Mm-hmm. And one time, the blacks, or one or two of them, would go to the city council meetings, and the things that they would say or do, it was right powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. I used to live on the other side of Hillwood Avenue, and when they found, or when they could see that there was some advancement as far as their attendance at this meeting was concerned, they changed the city line and pushed some of the city residents out into the county so they wouldn't have as much say. Mm-hmm. And that I heard about that. My husband knew about that. Mm-hmm. And I can't stay on the Tenner conversation very long because I don't know that much about them. Okay. In a way, I do, and then I don't know enough to go on further to talk about it. But
what about the Hendersons? Do you know much about the Hendersons?
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the Hendersons then.
Don't know a whole lot, but anyhow, E.B. Henderson was responsible for athletics in the District of Columbia mm-hmm. school system. I guess you've heard that a million times.
I have heard that part.
And he did most of his work in the District of Columbia. But he came out here and worked with the NAACP. But actually, for laying the groundwork as far as black people are concerned, Ollie Tenner, and then there was a Reverend Wallace Costner. He was very civic-minded. And he boycotted the theater with his young daughter mm-hmm. to try to start going to the state theater. I've never been there yet. But anyway, and then I used to go with Reverend Costner to Fairfax, to the courthouse, to meetings in the evening sometime. And he was concerned about the 18-year-olds voting and different things like that. And he was very good with the people in the community. Worked very hard.
Is he still living?
Is
Mr. Costner still living?
No. No. Because sometimes it disturbs me to not hear of the things that Reverend Costner and Ollie Tenner did in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be completely overlooked. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Henderson didn't do some of those things that those two guys did. They have a new gymnasium in the city of Falls Church. Mm-hmm. And because E.B. Henderson III heads up the Tenner Hill Foundation, I think he does. But anyhow, they named the gymnasium after his grandfather mm-hmm. because he was in sport in the mm-hmm. city. But anyway, that's about it.
And so then is there, because you said that people know more about Henderson than they do about Tenner and about
Mr. Costner. Some of them do, but there's been a lot of emphasis put on Dr. Henderson. Mm-hmm. But
so do you think there's a rift in the community then between people feeling that way, more people feeling that way? That
may not anyone in foster feel that way but me, but I have had a couple of people to say to me, Mr. Henderson was not out here when the others were paving the way. Mm-hmm. But they lived here.
Right.
And his wife taught in a two-room school down here. Mm-hmm. And she was in scouting too.
You told me some about your children and their attendance at school. Did they walk to school? Did they caught the bus to school?
Oh yes,
they did walk.
Walking distance. And they said it was a nice school. Mm-hmm. It was a nice school because it was practically new.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember any incidents, any particular incidents that stand out about your children in school, incidents of racial violence or?
No.
So mostly then it was just verbal things that they were saying back and forth, the white kids just taunting them that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when they were in elementary and intermediate, in elementary school was all black.
Mm-hmm.
But they got that exposure when they were in middle school, high school.
As you grew up as a child, what were some of the things that you did in your spare time?
Oh, dear Lord, when I was a child. That was so long ago. I didn't do much of anything. Really?
Did you live on a farm? Did you work on a farm?
No.
At all?
No. Mm-mm. I lived in a city, such as it was.
So Manassas was still pretty a city. City then, I guess.
Where I lived, yeah. Mm-hmm. But of course, like any other place, it has grown.
Right.
Even the city has developed a lot. But no, I didn't have a farm experience.
What did your parents do for a living?
My father was a blacksmith and a welder.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was a homemaker and a domestic and a babysitter.
Mm-hmm. And did she, when you say she was a domestic, she worked in someone else's
home?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she kept children for pay as well?
Yeah.
And what about you? I know you told me your husband was a bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
And you worked in the home. I think you told me that when I met you at church.
What did I do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was employed in the Navy Department for a while.
Okay.
And I also was self-employed as a beautician. I had my two shops.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would babysit too, sometimes. But and then most of the time, after having a family, I had to take care of my children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I was able to
full-time
do that.
Full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So is there anything else you can tell me about growing up? I mean, I know that you didn't come to the Tenor Hill area until you were 19. Is there anything that you can tell me about? Did you date while you were here? Were there places that you could go to restaurants?
Did I date?
Did you date?
Honey, I was married.
Married at
19.
19. Okay.
And it wasn't a shotgun wedding.
Okay.
Look, I was a little... I'll tell you all this after.
If you want to tell us off the recorder, she can stop it. You can go ahead and turn it back on. Doing your spare time when you first got married, did you go out on the weekends or?
When you first get married, what do you do?
Well, I guess you didn't go out much on the weekends.
First year we didn't go too much. But
that's true.
We had some things in common. We liked jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go to jazz shows. We used to go to the shows. There was a theater in Washington, Half Theater.
Mm-hmm.
They had some very good entertainment.
So were there places to go around, right around in Falls Church that you could go to?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. Nothing.
So the social, for your social life, you would go
we
into Washington.
We had to go out of Falls Church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they used to go to Georgetown to the theater.
Mm-hmm. So then for a lot of couples, a lot of young couples, then if they had social life in their spare time, they would drive into D.C., take the bus into D.C., or...
Yeah, that was a bus, and then most of the time they would drive.
Okay.
Uh-huh. In fact, we used to drive into Georgetown to the market because they didn't have any stores. We didn't have any markets here.
So oh, you're
God, when I first came to Falls Church and a few years afterwards on Broad Street, the main strip, man used to drive his horse and wagon down there. You don't have a ghost of a chance out there now.
So what about shopping for food? Did you leave Falls Church to shop for food? So, I mean, you...
Well, eventually there was a store.
Okay.
And then there was an open market.
Mm-hmm.
And then, before my time here, Mr. Henderson's mother, I think she had a store. And then there was another family who had a little store, or had a restaurant. And the Hendersons, the McIntyres, my husband's uncle and aunt, and what's the name of the other family? Roy's, I think, lived in the city of Falls Church. In the city of Falls Church. And I'm going off the subject now, but anyhow, we couldn't buy homes in Falls Church.
So where did you live? This was when you were in Manassas. You could not buy a house in Falls Church.
When I was here in Falls Church, we couldn't buy.
You couldn't buy a house.
No.
So where did you live?
I lived in Fairfax County, but in Falls Church, and I bought a house on the other side of Hillwood Avenue.
I see.
But my husband's aunt and uncle owned this whole strip. In fact, it's been in the family for 100 and some years. And when we had this house put here, somebody, wanted to know, do you want to sell that house? I said, I am the one that's having this house put up here, and I'm going to live in it.
Right.
So when they would see us out in the yard, they didn't have any idea that this property, most of it ran in here, belonged to black people.
Now, is that still the case now, or have a lot of people sold their houses in this section?
Well, years ago, when you weren't able to purchase these places, a lot of the people just left Falls Church. Not a whole lot, but if they couldn't find places to live, so next thing you knew was to get out of Falls.
So then were people making an effort, were whites making an effort to keep you from buying houses, or was it that the prices were getting so high that black people couldn't afford to buy them?
I was going to explain. Okay. It wasn't the matter of not being able to afford it, dollars and cents. It's that they didn't want you to buy in those neighborhoods. And the real estate people would, you know, like my daughters want to buy, and they would show them the worst places. They told the lady, if this is what you have to offer, forget us.
So how did people get past that? How did they get past that, beyond that? Did they file suits? Did they take it to court? What did they do?
No, I think that there was a very good person on the city council that sort of persuaded others to go along with the thing. But they had that on the book. It was law.
So by the time, and I'm trying to do a little calculation in my head, by the time you were born in 1923, so by the time you were about 40, you remember Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King. Do you remember how that may have had any impact, Dr. King's presence may have had any impact on your life in any way, just this whole civil rights movement? Do you think it made a difference in your life personally? Because you hear all the time about people talking about the civil rights movement, but not really knowing whether or not it made an impact on their life in a personal way.
I can't say that. Just about, during that time, things had improved. So that happening in my area of living, it didn't really make a big difference. Because I guess it wasn't exposed to something. But it meant a lot to me that things were changing.
Right.
But to have it affected me directly, no. Maybe I didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, you mentioned that in Tenor Hill there weren't very many places to shop, places to eat, or any of that. What did you eat? What was a typical meal for you? And you can tell me as a child what was a typical meal, or as a young married woman what was a typical meal? What would you eat on a regular?
Well,
like if you woke up at lunch or dinner.
My parents always made sure that we had balanced diet. And I'm at the age that I am now, you'd be surprised, I still have balanced
mm-hmm.
diet. I try to because of my age. In my health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just can't say I'm going to eat a cup of this and not eat something else.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the whole thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to go shopping for clothes or something like that, would you go into Georgetown to do that too? To
during
buy
those
clothes?
Years?
Yes, when you lived
downtown
in
Washington.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So very
and
little.
And then eventually they had a shopping center nearby.
Okay.
And one shopping center, Seven Corners,
mm-hmm.
every 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The shopping center at Seven Corners had Woodward and Lothrop's and Lerner's and Woolworth 5 and 10 and this, that, and the other. But at that time, they weren't, black people couldn't establish an account with those stores.
Mm.
But
you could go in and pay cash. Could you shop at all, or you couldn't
you
shop
could
at
shop,
all?
You could shop.
But
yeah,
you had to pay cash.
Couldn't establish credit. I don't know how long that lasted, but it, mm-hmm. it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. But anyhow, then we used to go downtown shopping. And when things were rationed, mm-hmm. it would make you sick to get in the line to get stockings. And when mm-hmm. in front of you, sorry, you can't get those things today.
Mm-hmm.
We went through that for a while.
During the Depression?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was young when we had Depression. I didn't know anything about the line. Mm-hmm. We used to go into Washington and see people standing in line, and you would ask my uncle, what are they in? What are they standing there for? It was a soup line.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was in the 30s.
So then in the 30s, you were about 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember where your parents were getting food from? Were they still buying their food, able to buy food? Or?
Well, they were raising a lot of that food right there. They're in town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've always been able to. Thank God I've been a blessed person.
Mm-hmm.
We never had to do without anything.
That's good.
Don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad used to say, well, it's not what you have, just have a plenty of what you have.
Mm-hmm.
But we always had clothing, food, everything.
Mm-hmm. Another question that was right on the tip, and I sidetracked myself. Maybe it'll come back to me in a minute. Can you have any questions? Oh, I know one. I was wanting to ask you. I've heard a lot about a place called a beer garden. Do you know about the beer garden? And I think it was in Falls Church. Have you ever heard of the beer garden?
Have I ever heard of it? Did you ever go to the beer garden?
I didn't.
No! I'm looking at you because I'm talking for myself.
Do you want to turn it off?
I was just, no, I did. Don't make no difference to me.
Okay, leave it on then.
No. I know where it was, down by the school. It was a little house. And I guess that's the same.
Now, is it a juke joint or is it a beer? Is there a difference between a juke joint and a beer garden?
I should ask you.
Yeah, I've been to a juke joint.
I have heard of them having juke boxes,
mm-hmm.
but not strictly a juke joint. But this was a beer garden. And I think they were strict about younger people going there. And if I'd been able, I wouldn't have gone anyway. But I know exactly where it was, right down there, where the school
was. How long ago was that, do you know?
Oh, good Lord.
Were you a teenager when it was there?
Yeah, I was beyond a teenager. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was the beer garden for blacks? Was it for whites, or was it just anybody?
As far as I'm concerned, it was for blacks.
Okay.
But you know, strange thing, we've always had for blacks, but whenever a white would go in there, they would be most of the time.
Welcome.
If they weren't beat.
Right.
Get out of there. Yeah, but no, the beer garden stayed there for a while. Mm-hmm.
So then they would sell beer and
food.
And food. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who owned the beer garden?
A fellow by the name of Alan Saunders. Okay. And he was another person who worked in the community.
Is
Alan
he still
Saunders
living?
And his wife was a school teacher. Okay. They used to she used to teach in a little two room school with the Henderson lady. And they used to get to the school and make fire for the day,
mm-hmm.
make a pot of soup
mm-hmm.
for the kids.
Is Mr. Saunders still alive?
No, he did.
What about his wife?
She's dead also.
So that was one place then that people could socialize. What about church and activities, social activities and
uh-huh.
stuff through
that
the church?
That's one place that you could always depend on something
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what church did you attend as a when you first came to
Falls Church? I attended Second Baptist. Mm-hmm. But my husband was Methodist. We used to go to different churches.
Mm-hmm.
Children went to Baptist Sunday school, and then they went to the Methodist Sunday school, and they liked it better.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to my husband, it's been a thing like husband and wife to one church and other than to the other on your side of the family. I said, I think I'll give up there and come down with you and the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, oh no, I'll come out of the Methodist church. I said, no, you've been here so long.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of us started going to the Methodist church.
And that's Galloway.
Galloway, uh-huh. Yeah. Because the good grandmother founded that church in 1867.
Whose grandmother did?
My husband.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Same year Howard University.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was your grandmother's name?
His grandma's name?
Oh, his grandmother.
Was Harriet.
Harriet.
Harriet Rice. He's the founder of Galloway United Methodist. Galloway, it was named something else then. But anyhow, she found.
Now that's a bit unusual to have a woman. Was she a preacher?
No,
she wasn't.
No.
Mm-hmm.
The first, she used to have worship in her home,
mm-hmm.
and then when she started Sunday school, or maybe they started Sunday school, one of the first teachers that they had was a white woman. And the first structure that they had, a lot of the material was donated by a man that she worked for. He was white.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Doolin.
Okay.
And they have a Doolin Methodist church here. But
do you know how he spells his last name? Doolin?
D-U-L-I-N.
Doolin.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's, getting back to the Tenner family, there's a young man, Reginald Gillis,
mm-hmm.
graduated from West Point, and I don't know what his rank is, but his rank is pretty high, and he's over in Iran.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Is he's related to the Tenners?
Yes, definitely. And at one time, he was a helicopter pilot trainer. But I don't know what he is now since he's advanced so much.
Was there a lot of talk as a child, for example, when you all were sitting at breakfast or something in the morning, with your family. Did your family talk about what the Tenors were doing or what the Hendersons were doing? And I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, could you tell that there were distinctions in among black people in Falls Church? Were there middle class black people? Were there well off black people? Were there poor black people? Could you tell those distinctions?
Could I tell it?
After you came to Falls Church, were you able to see those things?
Oh, dear Lord. We just say the poor will be with us always. Mm-hmm. That was a distinction.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So did people make much of the distinction? I mean, did people not socialize with certain groups of people because of who they were or because they had more money?
I think it was based more or less on character.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. As my father always taught us, he said, you will hear the expression, you think you're better than somebody else. And you tell them, yes, I am. Mm-hmm. If you are, you are. Maybe it was the wrong thing, but he always taught us, yes.
So yeah. What would make you better?
And behavior.
Okay.
And things. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my wealth. Mm-hmm. I would have been the bottom of the ladder.
Well, now with your father was a welder and blacksmith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you wouldn't have been at the bottom, would you, with your father that was a welder and a blacksmith?
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
No. He was quite an outstanding citizen.
Mm-hmm.
He really was.
What do you remember most about your father?
Oh, heavens, I told him one time, I said, Dad, you're just like a mother to me.
Mm-hmm.
He was just one of those loving fathers. Although Mom was living and loving,
mm-hmm.
but he was a very caring person. Mm-hmm. He really was that.
And what about your mother?
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to church on Sundays, today when people go to church, a lot of times we talk about things that are going on in the community. Did you talk about things that were going on in your community in church? So were you aware of through the church? Was the church kind of the place where you went to find out what was going on in the way of the NAACP or...
No? When I was coming out?
Yes,
no.
When you were coming out.
No. It was just strictly worship and that was it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then how were you all kept aware of things that were going on in the community, like the work that the NAACP may have been doing in the community, the civil rights activists?
When I was small, I don't think the NAACP was ever discussed.
Okay.
No. You must remember, I'm an old lady.
You're aging well.
No.
Okay. Were you a member of any clubs or organizations or things like that as a teenager, young woman? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
What about your children?
My children belong to perhaps one of the clubs at school or mm-hmm. something like that. Don't ask me the name.
Okay. So they were involved in school activities and.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. One of my daughters was in Oklahoma. The play Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
She could sing. And so Regina said she told the teacher. She said, "Now look. During those days, they didn't have any black people doing anything like this in Oklahoma, and you know it." He said, "Regina, I want you to be in it."
Mm-hmm.
And he was expressing himself. He wanted her to do well. "And I want you to shine." She said, "Wait a minute." He said, "Look, I didn't mean that. She's a fair-skinned girl."
Mm-hmm.
But,
Oh, the shine part didn't.
Yeah. that girl is my granddaughter.
This one right here.
And I don't say, you know, when anybody will earn something, I don't say they gave. But she earned a full scholarship to George Mason University. Cool. Went 3 years and was weak in a subject, didn't make it up, and that was it.
Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. That's so close.
Mm-hmm.
And a good-looking family. And this looks like Thurgood Marshall.
That's my youngest brother. I lost him at the age of 27 with cancer of the brain.
Really? Mm-hmm. Almost a combination of Thurgood Marshall and Langston Hughes. Uh-huh. I can see kind of a combination of the two.
He was really a smart person. He had his own business, and he bought a house he never lived in. He was still living with my mom and dad, and he bought a house that he never lived in. He was a stonemason and a building contractor. And then he had cancer of the brain and died at early age. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Never got married or anything.
So he kind of followed in your father's footsteps in terms of career. So did your father own this business, or he did?
He owned it, and he used to say, "My boss ain't mean." That's my husband and me.
It's a nice picture. Mm-hmm. When you first came to Tenor Hill at 19, what did it look like?
Didn't change much. The road is better, and some of the houses have been improved, but in general, things really haven't changed.
What about the people? Are a lot of the people that you grew up with, that you knew, are they still around? Have they moved out?
Oh, that hill over there at one time.
And you say that hill, what hill?
The Tenor Hill. Tenor Hill had all family. Mm-hmm. But then eventually somebody out of the family got in there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it hasn't changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. Did you live on Tenor Hill?
No.
You didn't live?
So
because
right
they allowed just the family members?
Here. And then I moved them on.
That's
that
right,
side
you told me that.
To here. I've been here 20 years.
So they made an effort, the Tenors made an effort to make sure that it was just their family that lived on the hill, or they
I
just
don't
didn't
know.
Don't know.
Probably
okay.
So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they take great pride in the name.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do.
Can you think of any other people who were leaders in the communities you told me about, Mr. Wallace or Reverend Wallace?
Costner. And Ollie Tenor, Alan Saunders, that's just about it.
What about the women? Any women who stood out as being good leaders, getting the women together to do things? Can you think of any women who were maybe leaders in the community?
There was one woman, would you consider scouting or anything like that? Okay, one lady paved the way for scouting in Falls Church. Her name was Viola Hudson. He used to call her Miss Boo. And when she trained, she couldn't train in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
She had to go to Washington to get her Girl Scout training. Isn't that awful?
It is.
I worked with her for quite a while.
Now, so was it Girl Scouts, or she worked with Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts?
Girl Scouts. And also the, what is that? 3A's? I guess 3A's. 3H's.
Four H's.
Yeah. Four H's. Was it say? What did you say?
4-H.
Yeah,
4-H. Mm-hmm. I forget what the 4-H stands for, but
health, something, another, home, blah, blah, blah. At least I got 3 of them, didn't I?
Is Miss Hudson still alive?
No, she is not.
Any other ladies that you can think about who made a difference? Ladies in the church, pastors' wives, who were just kind of the outstanding women in the community?
Okay.
What about the wives of some of the men that you mentioned? Mr. Costner's wife, if he had one, and let's see, who are some of the other ones that you mentioned? Mr. Saunders. Do you know about anything about their wives? Were they married?
Only thing I knew about Mrs. Costner, I don't think she did anything much in the community, but she was a good pastor's wife. She worked for federal government. Okay. And Saunders' wife was a teacher.
Anything else you could tell us about life on Tenor Hill, or your life, or your life at Galloway United Methodist Church?
No.
Okay. Even if we turn the tape recorder off?
No.
Okay. I have a few questions. Oh, okay. I just wanted to ask a little bit about your husband's family. Mm-hmm. And what year was he born?
1921.
And did he have any siblings?
Mm-hmm. One brother and four sisters. Mm-hmm. Have them too.
And are any of them still living?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. And what was his parents' name?
Her mother's name was Amy. My father's name is Robert.
And you said the grandmother was Harriet Bryce. Who was that?
That was Harriet Bryce was his great grandmother. That was one who founded the church.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And whose mother was she?
She didn't have children.
Oh, you're asking who was Mrs.
Yeah,
Bryce?
How are they?
Mrs. Hicks' husband's grandmother.
Right, so
her grandmother-in-law.
Right, I'm trying to figure out who were her children get to.
Okay.
She didn't have, as far as I know, she didn't have any.
Okay.
Where do you go next?